Psalm 54. We see in the superscription here that the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David, when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, "Is David not hiding with us? Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them." Selah. "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen his desire upon my enemies." It's a very short psalm today, but I want to take this opportunity to discuss these superscriptions. Children, this is a foreign word, and it means the writing above. Scription meaning scripture, the writing, and then super meaning above. We see in the Psalter, or in the Bible here, it's a contemplation of David. That means David, King David, wrote this. And it's a contemplation, something he wrote to think about. And the occasion of it is when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, "Is David not hiding with us?" And there's some question whether or not this is actually canonical, whether this writing is part of God's Word or something the editors put in. I tend to think that it is part of God's Word. Now, when we look at this, something to remember is this is the occasion for the writing of the psalm. It is not the translation, the definition, or the interpretation of the psalm. It's easy to misuse this and think that tells us what to think, but it doesn't. It tells us what was happening when it was written. The same as somebody told you that John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress when he was in prison, you don't think the story is about his time in prison. But you can think about that and have that inform your understanding of his soul crying out for freedom, of being oppressed by evil ones for trying to do good, and then the journey that God sends his people on to reach salvation, to reach vindication. So it helps you to understand it. It's the occasion, but it's not the interpretation. The reason I bring that up is these superscriptions are often used to show that the Psalms are about David instead of by David. Now, David is quite often in view in the Psalms, but we know from the New Testament teaching and from actual descriptions in the New Testament that the Psalms are about Jesus. And some of the superscriptions mentioning David, Jesus said, were about himself. So we can see that these are not directions for interpretation. They're just the occasion upon which it's written. This psalm, Psalm 54, is again continuing on a little bit from the last psalm we looked at last week, Psalm 53, where they looked at the fool and how the fool are corrupt, and God doesn't know them, and they don't know him, and they don't do good because of it. They don't call upon God. They don't look after God. They try to attack God's people, and God puts them to shame. Here in Psalm 54, we see a little more particularly these evil men and what they were doing in the life of the believer, and in this case particularly in the life of Jesus during his trial and when he was being persecuted on earth. It begins, "Save me, O God, by your name." And that right there, I'm going to stop at that first half verse and look at that. You've heard it said, and it is written, both, that when you see the covenant name of God, it is particularly meant to evoke or to bring about the name of God in covenant. And his saving his people, Yahweh, I am that I am. The name that was revealed to Moses as he brought his covenant people out of Egypt. This line is interesting. It doesn't use the covenant name of God, but it says, "Save me by your name." We have an appeal to God overall, but to the covenant. Save us by your name. And vindicate me then by your strength. We see that God saves by his name through his covenant, but is not against using his strength on earth to achieve his means. We have some who say that God doesn't intervene in history, and that when bad things happen, whether to good people or bad people, it's just accident or random chance or the work of the devil. Not the case. God works his strength in time. God works his strength on the earth as well. Hear my prayer, O God, and give ear to the words of my mouth. And so this is a prayer as well as a contemplation of his heart. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Now in context again, we look back at the previous psalm, and we know that these strangers and oppressors who have not set God before them are the very fools that Psalm 53 speaks of. In that, in a general sense, God said that he would break them down, and that salvation would come out of Israel. And the last psalm ended with a prayer that it would come. A prayer that Jacob would rejoice and Israel would be glad. And how would that be done? Well, as we move on, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. Oh, I missed something back in the previous verses. I'm sorry. If we go back to verse 3, if you look at, for strangers have risen up against me. In modern English, we think of that as people we don't know. If you go out on the street right now and somebody you've never seen before rises up and gets in your way, you would say a stranger has risen up before me. The word in the Hebrew here means a foreigner or someone who's outside the covenant. Not necessarily somebody I've never personally met. If the application of this in the life of Jesus, of course, would be the trial against or before Pilate, for strangers, non-Jews, were rising up against him, as well as the fools within the nation of Israel. Now, we know in the life of Jesus, there were many times when the mob had him, but God worked his strength, as we saw in the first verse. And here, God is my helper, and the Lord is with those who uphold my life. Until it was the proper time, Jesus was kept safe. After the crucifixion, before the resurrection, his life again was upheld by God the Father and by his angels. Verse 5, he will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. And of course, those of us with an understanding of the events of AD 70 in the book of Revelation saw that those who stood against Jesus in his life were repaid for that. And finally, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Jehovah. And here we have the first use of the covenant name of God in this psalm. I will praise your name, O Jehovah, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble. And my eye has seen his desire upon my enemies. David knew that as long as God was with him, the Ziphites and Saul could not kill him. He was the anointed one. And God's word said he would be king. So he was not, or he should not, have been in fear for his life before that happened. We know that at times he gave in to fear. And when you've got thousands and thousands of guys with spears and swords chasing you to the desert, you can understand that to some point, that you might be given to being a little nervous. But he knew when he contemplated God's word and when he was in the Spirit that he was safe and that the angels of the Lord and the people that God had sent were upholding his life and they would not fail. Jesus knew that even more. For he had the promise of the Father, and he could see in the future that the covenant would be fulfilled in his crucifixion and his death, and that the death of death would be seen in his resurrection, and that his eye had seen its desire upon its enemies, that death, that last enemy, would fall, and that salvation would be purchased for his people through his sacrifice. And that's really what the psalm is about, looking at him isolated, marginalized, because of our sin, seeing him suffering and ultimately dying, suffering the pains of hell for our sin, that God in the covenant, that the Father, through the Holy Spirit, could apply that to us. And if we are in him, we are saved, both from our own sin, from the punishments of hell, but we know that there is no random pain or suffering that can fall upon us, only the hand of God bringing things for our good. Now we're going to sing the second version of this, 54b. And remember, this is a prayer and a contemplation, looking at the sacrifice that brought us our salvation. And we can sing it also from a personal level. We suffer, but we will witness for the covenant before God and before the people.